I mean, real talk. We about to turn the game upside down. That's on God.
I said, you already know, nigga, you don't got a flow. Before rap, you don't really got dough. Before rap, you don't really seen snow. In the kitchen, about to make some magic. Then blow it all in magic. Pull up in my partner in traffic. Gave it to him, it was all in plastic. All I know, I ain't trying to go to jail. Heard that shit, close thing to hell. When it step don't make it hard to sell. When you been where I been, make it hard to fail. Cause I'm the realest nigga in this. Y'all know if yours nigga hit magic in that 645. Valley say Jizzle nigga stand new shit, but everybody back, cause that nigga can't drive. Doors open up, I merge with 10 chains. Even back then it was calling me 10 chains. Ask me what I spend, I tell them it's no thing. If I had it added up, it'd cost me like 10 things. We used to take a little show money, just throw money. If it's on the flow, nigga, it's the flow money. If you brought it out the blow and you got it from the blow, then that's why the fuck they call the shit blow money. Still a realest nigga in this, y'all know it.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Q from the Third Quarter Boys, and I'm doing an actual special today. I am here with my OG brother, my big brother, Mr. Ratchet. If I said that right, did I say it correctly?
Yeah, you said it right.
Because I always fear of messing that shit up, bro. Like, that shit hard for me because I might have a lisp or I might be just retarded or something, but... It's always hard, but yeah. So I'm with my brother. He's also a songwriter. I'm gonna call him a singer, even though he don't probably classify himself as that, but I do.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
And father, fitness and guy, whatever. I mean, guru, whatever. Gym rat. I mean, man of many cloths. So how you doing, bro?
I'm all right. How you?
I can't call it. I've been too well, but that's another episode. That's another episode. But let's start by get to your music, because that's a big thing for me too. Because I've been there since the beginnings, and I know. But for the people that's listening, kind of go into your beginnings of your music.
Like, how did I start out?
Evie, you can start from there. What was your telling of you saying, like, okay, I can do music?
I was in the army, and I was sent poems home, and trying to make them rhyme or whatever, trying to get a little every other line, to rhyme it. So when I got out, our cousin Ronnie, he had to transform one of my poems into a song format. And ever since then, I fell in love with making songs. Like, it hit me hard. Like, I was like, right. Oh, wow, I love this. You know what I'm saying? And so my first song ever getting, like, recorded, a big song that actually people noticed me from was, Midnight Love with Tasha.
Right.
And that took me again, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, I wish I had my horns. Light Braggs, he known around the town, people. And all your people that's in the town that listen to these dudes, Sean P and all these guys. Yes, my brother kind of was around when they started. They humble beginnings too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they have much respect for his pen. So yeah, I respect their pens, y'all respect his pen.
Oh, yeah. So, ever since then, I've been working on my craft, trying to get better, trying to get, get a Grammy,
That's a fact.
The goal is, but, I just try to gain a fan one song at a time, one person at a time. I'm not trying to rush the process. Just, one person at a time is all I need.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So, okay, as a songwriter, what are some of the more complications to making songs? Because people can just hear a song on the radio and think, like, oh, I can do this. But they don't know the actual ins and outs.
I mean, anybody can make a song, really. But like to be detailed, like I'm a perfectionist. I like to, like I like the background vocals, the arrangement of it all. You know, everything has to be on point. It's a lot that goes into a song, more so than, you know, a rap song.
Right. I feel like they're the same. They're one and the same. In the sense of you, when you come to a real rap song, you have a hook, a bridge,
I'm chorus. I'm talking about like as you know, not lyric wise, like building wise, like creativity. You know, like building the song. Like
okay. You know, yeah, right. Okay.
You got the lead vocals, the back right, vocals. Right,
yeah,
you know
it's
saying?
A bunch of more.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that goes into pull
this
song.
Horn down and pull that piano sound up.
Now, that's production-wise. We're talking like vocally, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Vocally. Because, you know, anybody, it seems like nowadays anybody can just go in the booth, spit a 16, you know what I'm saying?
Come out,
you know what I'm saying? Do a little ad lib, you know what I'm saying? That's their song.
Word.
That should be popping sometimes, but you know, when it comes to like songs,
right?
Yeah, like that's a different story. It's a lot goes into it, but I respect both of them. You know what I'm saying? Rap and R&B.
Song creating that's a difficult. Because for me, when I first started writing music, I would think of lyrics in song form and had to almost switch the lines to be rap lines. Like I would hear it in a melody. I wouldn't hear it in a rap form per se. Like, cause whenever I would write, like I would always hear the music in my head before I would write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I swear, I would always hear and see me saying it and rapping it or whatever the situation may be before I would take pen to paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more so like there would always be singy-songy, weird type melodies versus it being actual, like, the stuff I was going for. And then that's why I kind of was like, the beats that I chose were like, kind of singy-songy, hip-hoppy beats. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't really a lot of hardcore. Even though I was searching for it, it wasn't a lot of it. It was more pop-ish and stuff like that because that's where the sound originally came from for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to change the narrative a little bit. So it was cool. It really was cool. And I got a lot of, what would the word be? Approval of the peers for the situation. I mean, it was fun, but you've been doing this for a while. So how long have you been doing this for? Write music?
It's 05.
So that's 15 years.
Yeah, man.
That's 15 years.
Yeah.
Golly, a lot of people ain't been doing nothing 15 years.
Yeah, man. Every opportunity I had,
What were some of the opportunities? Name some of the people that you were able to come in contact with via your pen.
So I got an opportunity.
Top three. How about that? We won't go crazy. We won't go crazy. Give you your top three people that has reached out to you due to your pen.
All right. So I got the opportunity to write for Jack Knight. He's a legend.
Right.
Songwriter with P. Diddy and all the Bad Boy. Tyrese and his manager, G Flower. I'm not sure if that's his manager right now, but, you know, at the time, when TGT was
heavy.
Yeah, just coming out with their album. You know, yeah, it hit me up to, you know, write some songs for him. Nothing came out of the situation, but I still was thankful for the opportunity. Let's see. It's a lot of them, man. It's a lot, you know. Took some L's, but
That's
L's for me are lessons. You know what I'm saying? It's not losses, it's lessons. Right. So you know, I'm thankful for him. It you know, it helped me out in the long run. Helped me my mindset and my work ethic. It opened my eyes a lot. So you know, I'm thankful for it.
Cause I have a question in the sense of the grind between the different artists or mm-hmm. the different genres of music. Do you think the grind of a songwriter is the same or similar to the actual singer, or do you think the songwriter has like a different like road to travel?
I think the songwriter brings the product, but the artist actually has to deliver, you know what I'm saying, make it believable, you know? Like, say that you're a singer, like, hey, listen, I got this song. I wrote it to how I imagined it, and it's a relatable song, but you have to make it believable to everybody else that it's relatable, you know what I mean? Right. You have to put that emotion into it to make it, you know, feel like you're going through what I wrote, you know?
Right.
So that everybody else can connect with you, can feel your pain, you know what I'm saying? Well, my pain, but in a sense, your pain, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, it's, I feel, it's an equal thing for me, 50-50. Okay. There has to be a great song written, and it has to be a
great person singing it.
Performed to, you know, top degree for it to connect with other people.
Right. That's why I feel so strongly about your music and you actually providing that voice to it. Mm-hmm. Because no one can express, especially the way you write, mm-hmm. no one can really express that emotion the way you can. Like, it's like I've heard people try to sing your music and it was just like, man, you are destroying my brother's song. The song is amazing. You know, what are you doing?
And it's like, when I reference the song, like I put emotion in it because I'm going through it. I mean, and that's the hard part.
Beauty of the song and how transparent the product can be. And right. That's why people, like, look at Life Jenna's. Life Jenna's voice sucks. It sucks. But people love him because of it's real. It's a voice of the people. Like it's he's a real guy in the streets to like people. He's tangible to some people, so they can understand his pain, and that's why he sings from a different type of pain.
Right.
So people can he has a fan base of that. You can get that same fan base because you have this different particular pain, but it's still relatable.
Mm-hmm.
But ain't nobody gonna be able to express your day pain. You mean your pain the way you can.
And that's what I'm saying.
It's like, just artist, like it's hard, man.
Artist is not going through a certain pain that you write. If they pick up a song that they're really not going through, and they try to put that emotion in, like sometimes you don't feel it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the song is nice, but
yeah,
you just don't feel it because they're really not connected to it. You know, so they're not putting that emotion that's needed into the song.
So do we call those true artists or true singers? Because I feel like a real singer can be able to portray any emotion via their voice. You should be able to. A real artist, to me, has been through life and been told no so many times that they understand the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So as that artist being the singer, you know, people don't slam the doors on you, people don't touch you. So you have a pain that you can kind of tap into, that you can always be able to deliver a certain type of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So do we call those people true artists if they can't deliver?
I mean, everybody's an artist in their own right. I ain't gonna, you know, deny
it. I'm denying niggas. I am. You want to know why? We got to start clearing the air. We got to start getting these bad people out of here, the bad voices, and make the better voices more easier to access.
I mean, there's an
people,
audience.
It's a drone. People get drawn out.
Everything, you know.
That's sad.
It is. It sucks. It does suck. I mean, like,
because then people like you have a hard time coming into a situation where you can actually be killing it in the game right now, Because the songs that you write, they've been singing, they singing about this now, but you've been writing about this for a while already. Mm. You already been doing this, and it's with the same type of melody and everything, where every time I hear a song going, like, yo, I can hear my brother writing this. I can hear my brother writing this. Mm. Like, I swear I can hear my brother writing this. It's just not being able to get right to producers, the right crowds, or the right backing.
That
networking system. So now I feel like it's more of a networking thing and not an actual artist type of thing, because you can create any sound in a booth.
That's where that falls on me, where I got to do the grinding.
But you have to have a team, though, B, also. Yeah. And that's where it also needs to come into play, too. You need to be able to get to a team. A team has to be able to believe in their product so much that they fight for them. When the because technically you're the talent, you shouldn't have to go out and do that. I get it. You got to be on the boots, doing the grassroots mm-hmm. thing. I get it. But at the same time, you also have to have a person to advocate for you if you can't advocate for yourself in the moment. So in order to be able to get to certain levels, if you feel like you are too busy within this moment and you're creating, you're being a creator. You need a person to be able to vouch or be able to go and do what they need to do to be able to get you where you need to get to in the next step to be able to keep creating more content. Also, being able to open the doors for this person that's actually creating or helping you move the way you need to move, which is your manager or whoever team you have around you to be able to. I mean, it has to be able to happen. That networking system has to be able to not fall solely on the creator or the artist. Mm-hmm. And that has to be able, that drains the artist. Where you started getting poor music, poor performances, no show appearances as far as like radio promotion, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It drains you. And then that's when you, oh man, I don't want to do this no more, because you got to do so much and it shouldn't be on you to have to do. You are the talent. You're the creator. You have to appear in front of cameras when necessary. You got to create music when you're contractually obligated. Cool. That should be your only two situations you have to worry about. Photo shoots, stuff like that. Shows, shit like that. You don't need to be focused on the day-to-day, but you have to have a trusted team, and that is hard to find, a trusted team.
Right, that's true. That's very true.
And I'm like, it's sad for me. Like,
well, that's why, you know, like I said, like I'm picking up a lot of stuff. Like I said, I'm my own engineer, my own writer.
Bruh, I got a plug. Like, I got a plug for you, bro.
I'm a home photographer now. You know what I mean?
So, tell you, I got a plug for you, bro. Listen, I have a plug.
If nobody else would do it, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to find a way.
That's the killer in you. And then here's the thing. Your music doesn't lack.
Yeah.
You're doing all the things that you need to do being this jack of all trades in life. And still, your music does not lack. The effort it takes to be able to create that content, the emotion behind it, the intricate parts that you do, especially with the backgrounds, which, you know, I love your backgrounds and all that shit, but that shit be crazy.
Yeah, man.
I know how many times it might take for you to be able to get to that process that you're like, okay, I can complete this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, like only if a person can see this, and this is why I say YouTube that process, bro. YouTube it, because people can now understand. They'll start following your life. Like, yo, this shit is actually kind of cool. How he do it all? Like, oh shit! And you're actually making fan fave. Like, you can pull out like comments. Go in the comments. Listen, y'all, give me something to reference a song to, or something to create a song about. And it leaves you to a point where you don't have to keep harvesting that thought, oh, what do I need to write about? What can I write about? Oh, shoot, I got a comment section where people are throwing me ideas. Maybe I can try to scratch something out of this, one of these ideas. Maybe something might come together. Maybe I could pull this one and this one together and make something. Mm-hmm. It'll leave you in a space where you can always be able to create, and you're not stuck, because writer's block is a motherfucker.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
It's a motherfucker. So what type of music are you working on right now?
Well, right now I'm working on my my fifth EP? I don't even know if I'm going to call it EP or LP. I'm still creating songs for it.
But how long is it? That's what's...
It's right now I got 8 songs. So it's probably going to be an LP.
Yeah, EP I think is only 4, right?
No, EP is like anything like under less 30 minutes.
So, okay.
So, it's more than 30 minutes. So, it's probably going to be an EP, LP.
But okay, let's backtrack real quick. Explain to people what an EP, LP versus...
A LP is a regular album. Like anything over 30 minutes. An EP is anything under 30 minutes. It could be 2 songs, 3 songs, 4 songs. If it's under 30 minutes, it's considered an EP. But, you know, mixtape, it could be whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's on the artist, whatever they decide to call it. You know, as far as that was. But, yeah. So mine is going to be an LP. It's going to be called...
If you don't have a name for it yet, we won't exclude. We won't give them that exclusive just yet.
Oh, it's coming. I got a name for it.
It's coming soon.
I got a name for it. Hold on 1 second. My mind went blank. Zero gravity.
Zero gravity.
Yes.
Okay.
Zero gravity.
What made you say, okay, I'm gonna call my album Zero Gravity?
Zero gravity because of, you know, basically what I write about is relationships, you know, love, sex, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Anything. I try not to write about what I don't have and what I don't do. You know what I'm saying? So basically, relationship problems, relationship goals, anything relationship right. based, I write about. And Zero Gravity is basically a rough patch in a relationship. Cold feeling, silent treatments, full of silent treatments, you know, pride and all that stuff. Everything that comes with it. So that's basically what zero gravity is. You know how in space, you know, zero gravity obviously, right. but it's silent. It's cold up there. It's,
right.
You know, all that stuff. So I just basically compared that to the rough patch that we was going through. Me and my partner in these songs. So it's go from start to finish. I'm basically telling the story. How we started out to how we fell out and got back in it.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's going to be dope as hell. That's going to be dope as hell. Yeah. I cannot wait, bro. I can't wait to hear that shit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you, people, go check his music out. Matter of fact, let's take a second to plug your Instagrams and Facebook and Twitters and whatever you social media is you follow.
You can follow me on IG at I Am Ratchard. It's IAMRACHAURD. On Facebook, you can follow me at Brandon Richardson or Ratchard the Writer. Twitter.
He said his name wrong. Yeah. Like it's a problem.
You know, Twitter is the same thing. I Am Ratchard. That's basically all I got right now. If you inquiring about any songs.
YouTube, you got YouTube videos.
YouTube, yeah. Oh, yeah. YouTube is the same thing. YouTube.com/RatchardTheWriter. That's where you can find me at. But if you need some songs or anything like that, hit me up. theynotice.rtw@gmail.com.
That's what's up. Yep. That's what's up. So yeah. How did you come up with the name The Ratchet?
Yo, actually, Ronnie and Bobby came up with that name for me, man.
Cousin and Bobby being another cousin that we have, also in the music industry.
Oh, yeah.
cranking it. Shout out to Ron and shout out to Bobby.
Oh yeah,
turned up right now.
Yeah. Doing their thing right now. They gave me the name, man. Came out of nowhere, just fucking with my name, and then everybody just started calling me that. It just stuck. Mm-hmm. So.
Cause I'm going flats on the track.
Yeah, they call me flat too.
Flats on the track.
Yeah, so it's I'm really proud of my progress
that I've made. Facts, cause I'm telling you, I was dip people. Listen, I remember back in the day when we was living on St. Cashmere, he used to pay me to make beats for him. So he could like do his backgrounds for his voicemails, and he used to make them songier than a bitch. So that was like our first creation of like music at that time. Like it was so like I knew like yo, this nigga gonna try to do some music, bro. That's crazy. And then now I see, like, now full circle, now he doing this music shit for so long. Like, mm-hmm. It seems like he's always had it. He's been playing, how many instruments you, what?
I used to play the piano.
Piano, yeah.
Now I'm trying to pick up the guitar, so.
Goddamn guitar. Oh, my God, I want to play that. I want to know how to play that acoustic first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get into the electric, but the electric sounds so cold.
Yeah, that's what I got in the studio right now, the acoustic guitar.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to learn how to play that.
I want to get back into the saxophone.
Yeah, I remember you used to play that.
I want to get back into it. I really do. I miss playing the sax. That shit was fun. I swear. All right, so yeah. We'll take a break, people. We'll be right back. Okay, we back, people. We back. So along with being an excellent songwriter, he's an excellent father. Father of two, boy and a girl, which is funny because my oldest son and his oldest son is a year apart, around a year and a week apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then our oldest daughters are one day apart.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's like I have a brother that's going through the same stuff I'm going through with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of give me your overall, since you've been a father, like what was your biggest concern, scare, and what was your biggest joyous moment?
My biggest scare was, first of all, like, I've been a father for 12 years. It's been amazing, fun. It's been awesome. So my biggest scare was, you know, little Brandon. He was born 2 months early. A week after getting out of the hospital, he went back into the ICU so he can, you know, because his lungs wasn't fully developed, so scared the crap out of me. He's in there for, you know, a little minute. So
for those who don't understand what that is, that's a premature baby.
Yeah,
I mean,
so that really scared the crap out of me. That was for little Brandon, but for Mama, I ain't had no scary moments yet. My highlight moments is just watching them do what they love. Watching Brandon play basketball—that's like my favorite. That I kind of like that more than I love music. You know, watching him play basketball, I just get so excited.
That's exactly why I stopped playing. I found a joy in actually watching my kids play sports versus me playing sports.
For real, bro.
Like, I mean, I had my fun playing sports. I mean, we play baseball every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in volleyball, basketball at school and everything. It's like, I mean, I was always active in the streets playing sports, rec centers and stuff like that. So I actually find it funner because I like to spectate.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that in my later age.
Mm-hmm.
I like to spectate because I can talk, because I know what it takes to do certain things.
Right, right.
I mean, and people can say what you want, but when it comes to what I know how to do, it takes a certain skill.
Mm-hmm.
And for a nigga that can do it, I give him their props. But if you can't, don't tell me that, because mm-hmm. I'm talking my shit. I'm going to talk, because, like, I don't know. It's just, it's different for me now. Like, it's funner doing it that way. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I feel the same way.
And actually, like, when you tell your kids something, right, they scared at first. But when you tell them, yo, look, listen, you got to do this, blah, 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 blah. And they will actually go out there and do it.
Yeah.
And they actually succeeded. You know, that's, oh, man. Yeah. Then they get super excited, you know what I'm saying?
And they're going to start doing it every trip.
You know what I mean?
So what do now, nigga.
That's an awesome feeling, man.
It's fun.
With my daughter, cheerleading, watching her doing dancing.
She's a girly girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wants to pick up acting now, so.
So it's not going to be too many active, what's the name? Spectated moments like a softball or basketball.
Not for my boy. I mean, she want to do soccer too.
Sorry about the interruption, but I'm hoping that one of my kids end up getting into baseball though.
Yeah, man.
I'm hoping one, because tonight actually she's doing softball this year. And which is cool because it's like I grew up playing baseball. Everybody I knew mm-hmm. around me played baseball. Like, I would love for my kids to experience baseball because the camaraderie that comes with baseball is different. You actually on the field with these people and things matter when they matter. Mm-hmm. Like one missed catch can change the dynamic of a game.
Mm-hmm.
One missed bat, one missed throw. Anything can change the narrative of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everybody got to work together. So baseball for me is a truly, truly team sport. Basketball, I can be one man and do what I do. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Football, it's a team sport. But, I mean, you got two players that's really going to be dominant. Or three players, I would say, on your offense, which is your wide receiver, running back, and quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is not going to be too dominant or get that look as if those three
were right.
who they were. In defense, you got your stars like your linebackers, maybe a fucking safety or a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you maybe get a defensive lineman or something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, that might. But, I mean, you got three technical positions that's really going to get their looks. It's not really going to be too many other people.
They put points on the board.
Yeah, they get the stops and they do the points. So it's like you gotta. I mean, so with baseball, everybody's important.
Yeah.
Because your only person that doesn't bat is your pitcher.
Unless they want to bat.
Unless he had probably a designated hitter or something like that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, everybody has to take field and play a part. You got to get out there, bat, and receive the ball, goddamn. You got to be on both sides of that bitch. So if your offensive game ain't working, your defense better be hot.
Facts,
or if your defense ain't too hot, your offense better be killing. Because you're going, it's
hilarious.
Like, I mean, but real, you got to play both sides of that motherfucker. Like, for real, for real. And any wrong thing can change the game. So it's like, it's baseball is a different dynamic. It's cool, though, once you get it. It really is. And I hope my baby stick to it.
For real.
And then I hope maybe Ziggy jump in. I'm hoping maybe Ziggy jump in. They all like soccer, though. That's a big thing for them. Soccer is really huge. Quentin is thinking he likes basketball now, so we're going to get him going into basketball. And I'm going to show him basketball is not the game that you think it is, which is going to put the ball and shooting it in the court. That's not basketball. that's shooting hoops.
a lot of stuff come into basketball.
Basketball, man, is a different game, bro. And don't tell me you like basketball, because I'll show you what basketball really is. It's more, it's not even about putting the ball in the rim, it's your conditioning. Mm-hmm. If you can run, you can win. And that's what most kids don't understand. And that's why I'd be the perfect coach. Mm-hmm. Because I get you to understand that basketball is not even a game of putting the ball in the rim. It's a game of endurance. Mm-hmm. In high school basketball, 9 times out of 10, you have a 6 to 7 man rotation, right? Mm-hmm. You got your 5 starters, and then you got your 2 men. You probably do, but you probably be like an all-purpose guard or small forward, and your big man, or like a power forward somewhere where I can be kind of accessible to both situations. Both, yeah. Boom. So in that, that's a lot of back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. Most people miss shots due to what?
Not taking them bitches.
Nope.
Oh.
Their muscles are tired, and they can't jump to shoot the shot, or they can't jump to make that layup, or they can't jump to do whatever it is, so they can't get that.
Their stamina gone, bro.
Boom. So you work your endurance. You work that running, all that. You keep your shit right. By the time they get slow down, you just catching your second wind and slowing and catching up. And you could actually keep going. Mm-hmm. You got the muscle memory to make the shots, because we're going to keep that consistent. And then also, you got the endurance to be able to not get tired, to be able to take the shots. Mm-hmm. So now we Gucci. Now we ain't no reason for us not to be able to win.
Facts.
Ain't no reason for us not to be able to win. Because I know for a fact, by quarter 3, that team going to be tired. Halftime don't give you enough justice. It don't. That should give you about 5-10 minutes to sit your ass down real quick. And if you a star player, you back on that quarter. Mm-hmm. Your shit got to be tight.
Right.
That's why for me, I was up, sun up, sun down, I'm hooping all day. My endurance about to be irregular, bro. Mm-hmm. And it was.
It was, bro.
It fucking was. My shit was irregular. Like, I'm able to jump, constantly jump, bro, with the heights and the shit that I was doing. I'm constantly doing this all night, every night. That takes a lot of endurance. Bro, my leg muscles was so crazy, bro. Crazy, bro. Like, I was squatting 250 free weights. Three with the what's the name that you can kind of, three with those. I was sitting on the machine, I was squatting 5, easy. Being able to push the leg presses, 5, easy. Easy, high school, easy, bro, that was nothing. And our squats, we squatting down hallways. We not just in one area squatting. We squatting down hallways, bro, with shit on our fucking. Let's get it. I'm telling you, my man, I made sure, because my legs were, your legs are truly the most important playing ball, doing anything like where you have to do a lot of jumping and moving and running, your legs are the most important things. You got to keep them bitches right. Soccer, that's why soccer players, they tend to work heavily on their legs and not their upper bodies. Mm-hmm. Just necessary.
Be running like crazy too.
So when B, get tell B, get him now. Get your endurance right. Get the running. Get to working them legs out.
He told me, like, yo, dad, yo, can we start running?
Take him in the morning to the gym with you. You can do that.
Not the gym. I go to.
Oh, they whack.
I gotta he wanna start running around the neighborhood in the morning, so I'm gonna do that with him.
Get him a couple little weights. Get him a little weight jacket or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get him ankle weights. I'm going to get him all
that. Yeah, bro, listen. He needs to know endurance. He needs to learn how to be able to, like, just keep going, keep running, just keep, like, pressing through it. Because when basketball, when it comes because you would think that just shooting a hoop is Niggas has got moves out this bitch. You got to be able to stay
in front. For real. Stay in front of him, bro. Like, don't get left on the other side.
Toe up. For and it's real. Because their legs are not, like, they don't work on their legs like the way they should. Like, nigga, you should be able to, like, and it's just not working out. It's being able to, doing them in and out patterns with your feet. And, like, you got to be able to do it because it's like, it becomes second nature when you're in the court to do these things. That's why my it was this one phrase my coach used to always say, put your hand in the cookie jar when you're shooting. You know, like when you was a kid, you used to try to reach for the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do when you shoot. Keep your form consistent and reach your hand in the cookie jar every time. My jumper became water. Oh, bro, listen. What, bro?
It depends on how many cookies you're getting, bro.
Bro, listen.
Getting one or two, your jumper going to be wet, bro. If you're getting like five or six of them bitches, bro.
Bricks.
Hell yeah, bro.
Yo, that is hilarious. Holy God. But yo, real talk, though. Like even with Bieber, it's a emotion, and I will gladly show you guys when we get to our visual show about you put a ball, what you do, people, you take a ball and put it in between your muscle and the back of your hand, and you let it sit there. He got to let it sit there, and he hold it like this, and what you do is you put a ball inside of his hand. So that gives him his where he has to like keep his hands spread apart, and he got to keep it there for 5 minutes. Do that probably a couple times a day, Muscle memory, mind you. When he goes to shoot, that's all that's gonna keep happening. He's gonna be
that's tough.
The fuck, yo, I can't miss. Yeah, because your arm already know. Like I'm telling you, both sides of my hands already know. They already know once. I'm already with it because I know that's the muscle memory. Even when you see me shooting, leaving the little balls with the at the little arcades, I'm doing the same thing. Get up. It's not going to be different. I know, and that's why I can shoot the way I shoot. They used to classify me as a shooter. I was one of the biggest things on the court. Shooter! Man, I'm going to dunk on one of you niggas.
Right.
I don't know what you're talking about shooting until I started, yay! Like 7-8 threes a game. Like, yeah. But y'all making it rain. I'm not playing with none of you niggas out here. Y'all gonna feel me. And tell you, your confidence, his confidence a boost because then he'll know, like, I can start doing whatever crafty little moves now. Now I can start adding intricate pieces to my game to where it's like, I can hit you with the back shimmy and still know I'm gonna come off that and be able to. Because, that's why Kobe became who Kobe was. He learned that muscle memory first. And then he started getting his foot, everything else secondary.
Man, his footwork is crazy, man.
That's the only time you can actually perfect your game is when you learn the first parts of it first. And most people don't want to learn the first parts of it first. They want to learn how to Euro step first. Mm-hmm. They want to learn how to in and out crossover and hit a three. You can. But you won't get it until you learn how to be able to get your muscle memory right, be able to learn your shot, be able to keep your hands squared and everything, your body squared and all of that to wherever you, man, it's a lot. It really is. It's a lot. As a coach, you too, you coach, right? So that's another thing you can bring to the table, things like that. You ain't even got to be the best at doing it. You can just show them. And create the best out of them. And then they'll still love you for it because they're going to be like, man, this nigga got my shit in water. Yo, tell you, niggas going to be hit it. Bah, nigga. Yo, take the shot. Bah, nigga. And they just going to be so hyped. Like, oh, they're going to look at you different. Like, yo, this nigga, anything you say, I'm going to listen to now. So, I'm telling you, it'll help get their endurance right. Make sure they running, and not just baby running. Yo, y'all, give me basketball game time running.
Oh yeah, that's what we say in practice. Run all the drills, game time. Game time speed.
Game time, and what you do, you get a little map for them. teach them how to create contact. Teach them how to be able to take contact.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of kids are scared of contact, and in turn will make them grow up scared of contact. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of them kids, like Russell Westbrook's and all of them, they ain't scared of that shit because mm-hmm. niggas been bullying them niggas the whole time.
Yeah.
Create a Billy, and you'll get a beast. I will create a dream team. Oh my god! I don't even know. None of these niggas gonna be stars, but they will when I'm done with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you give me some dedicated people that want to learn basketball, want to play ball, man. Give me a nigga my height. Mm-hmm. I can still put him at big man a little bit in high school ball or something. Oh. Bruh, I'm telling you, these niggas would be so cold, bruh. They be, because the plays, just the little stupid plays that people don't think to run.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I got some clever ones. Oh, the back screen is a beautiful motherfucker. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. The back screen, it's the best play to run because as you're taught as a defender to keep your the person you're defending in front of you.
Mm.
But they've been teaching people to communicate in basketball where you have a lot of kids that still don't communicate in basketball, so that back screen is a motherfucker. That's how you play it. Your first play is always the back screen. That's how it works every time. It's always the back screen. If you get the tip, set up that play. But yeah, man, I swear, man. Give me a team. Give me some niggas like that. I'm telling you. But the back screen, you always run that first.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, you set that. It's a quick back screen, and your point guard has to always be aware. It's a double back screen. You come, both your 4 and 5 come up, set the back screen. Your point guard has to pick a way, pick
mm-hmm.
a side.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as he do it, that back screen set, he go to a side, that pass is automatically going to be open.
Right.
Automatically. So that's your first bucket for the game. That gets everybody motion like, oh shit, okay. All right, let's go. We can do this. And you create a mentality of, okay, I can listen to my coach now.
Mm.
Certain shit he know to get me where I need to be. And our first play was a back screen to an alley when I was balling.
Mm.
For me.
Word.
Yo, come on. What? Nigga, first play of the game. We went to, it's automatic. Automatic. It wasn't even something my coach came up with. That was something me and my boy Ray came up with. Mm-hmm. It was because it was too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Their first play, because everybody's already first jittered up. So, you know, like, everybody gonna be ripping and running. So, mm-hmm. you run, you automatically, yo, run it. Boom, they come up, automatically just go, jump. Boom! Ah! That get the crowd going, and get everybody going. They know what type of game it's about to be.
Right.
So now we about to get some basketball. So that's it's a beautiful spark. It's a beautiful spark. But that back screen is a beautiful thing. So teach the kids the real details of basketball, not the fun, because the fun is never going to come if you don't know how to play
it. Mm-hmm.
The fun only comes when you are nice. That's when you have fun at basketball. Fully understand that, people. The fun only comes to basketball when you are nice. When you are not nice, basketball will feel like work.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It will feel like work. So don't do it if you do not want to get nice. And that's the only way you'll be able to have fun. So we'll put a cap on that right there. But I want to get to another topic before we end this. You've been doing a whole lot of fitness, bro.
Yeah.
And this is not the Brandon I know to be. Although we always been like skinny kids and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But to see you bulk up this way and be throwing that iron around, like, god damn, this nigga is up here about to break some shit strong. What gave you that motivation?
I didn't like how I didn't like how my body was turning out, man. I'm getting a little older. I wanted to be a little more healthier, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't want to continue on the path that I was on.
Right.
So I needed a change. I used to smoke Black Miles like a pack a day. Now I went to vaping. I quit all that. I'm not doing anything no more. So that helped out a lot.
Wish I had my home.
I just wanted to, you know, level up on, you know, on a lot of things in my life. Mentally, physically, and, you know, that's just one of the steps in the process.
Right. That's a fact. Okay, so as you going through your journey, what have been some of the things you had to let go? And what are some of the things you feel like, yo, I really don't want to do this?
Yo, that's a good question, because everything I like, I had to freaking give up. Not so much, like, you know, I get cheat days, but, like, I don't really eat chips like that no more. Cookies, all that sweet stuff, that's out the window. Stuff that I miss, like, that I really, like, enjoyed was, like, bacon. Mm. I fucking love bacon.
Yeah. I'm sorry, people, I had to indulge in some bacon. Today actually. It's been a while. Niggas fucked around and stopped at Bojangles, and if anybody knows me, they know Bojangles is my motherfucking shit. Mm-hmm. Walk with him. So
But other than that, that's it's a struggle, but it's worth it. So you gotta sacrifice to get what you want sometimes.
Right. That's a fact. God damn it. Because I'm the type of nigga where, man, I've never been really into doing a whole workout. Mm. I've more been, like, focused on legs and stuff like that. I've never been, like, to do a complete workout. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
Yeah, it was tough in the beginning, man. I was struggling. Shout out to my trainer, Kayon Austin, Custom Made Fitness.
Yeah, we can plug his joint too.
You can find him on IG, custom.made.fitness. So luckily I work with him, so he can watch me as I, right, you know, during the workday, because I'll be sneaking cupcakes and he'd be like, the next day, he would smoke the hell out of me. In the
pause,
gym.
Pause.
No.
Damn, I wish I had a... Wait, what? I got the one today too, but I... man, wait, what?
Yeah, like, he'll do a workout, like, that would, like, kill me, son. Like,
that's North Carolina slang.
Oh, man.
That North Carolina slang.
So I gotta, you know, that really helped me watch what I eat, you know, so... Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie though, because to be honest with you, I've changed a lot of my eating habits too. It wasn't bad giving up a lot of stuff. Bacon wasn't too hard to give up as much. Like, I indulged maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that hard. Like, I'm cool. I eat a lot of salads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoy a lot of that stuff. I've been taking a lot of vegetables. Mm-hmm. Serious now, like, before, as a kid, you would look at vegetables like, ew. But you don't see the facts that you have to consider when you get older.
Right.
Being in your 20/20 or your hindsight at that time. So it's kids understand it, and it's cool that my kids now, they enjoy eating like that because of Gabby. So... And shout out to my wife. She kind of put us all onto that whole food lifestyle. So it's like, we cool on it. It's just now I got to get to working out. And I'm just like, ah, golly.
Well, 90% of, well, 85% of it is the foods you eat. It starts in the kitchen.
Right.
The rest of it is working out, basically. Exercise. So it's not, you don't always have to work out. You have to eat right. You have to eat right. That's it.
Right. Well, if you like what you heard, people, y'all know where to find us on Instagram, Facebook, at the Third Quarter Boys. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Anchor, or wherever you find your podcasts. Google Podcasts. Shout out to Google Podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, shout out to everybody that listens to us. And, yeah, thank you.